After a meal like that, you deserve a little dessert. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Leafs Nation Postgame. Brent Gunning, Gord Stellick alongside me here. It's a late one, and the Leafs gave us plenty to be excited about. A 6-2 win on the road in LA. Goals from plenty of different players. Unfortunately, none from Nick Ritchie. We'll get to that a little later on. We will start with the positive. Gord, this is the one we've been clamoring for. We've asked for good power plays. We've asked for quick games before. We've asked for teams to start on time. But every single night we've said, when are they going to have the offensive explosion? It finally comes to fruition tonight in LA.
Three keys to victory before. One was about that offensive explosion, and it's a lot of different players that did it. It wasn't like Matthews scored three or Marner scored three, so some balanced scoring. And also just said, let's just make it easy for Jack Campbell, and they did. Now, he had to come up with a big save early when it was tied 1-1. You know, so early on in the game, the propensity to make the big saves continued, but he got to sit back. It was a laugher. Man, that second period would have been the longest period if you're a Kings fan. Leafs got four goals in it, and then the third period went pretty quick. It was one of those, like in kids hockey, it'd be stop time, you know, that kind of vibe. So it was nice being on that side for the Maple Leafs. A guy like Rasmus Sandin, three assists. Wayne Simmons, two really nice assists. Like when I, so we'll talk about it, but the balance was a storyline.
Never mind in House League, they'd be doing runtime. It felt like the officials were clamoring for that in the third. And there were two or three times where there, you know, in a normal game, the puck gets blown dead from a scrum and, you know, the guy's just not moving the puck along the boards and you could hear the refs, move it. It's amazing how everyone kind of gets the hang of things when a game's like that. You know, you mentioned some of the principles there. I'll start with Rasmus Sandin. 3 points, that's a career high for him. You know, obviously in a game like this, that bottom pair is going to get a little more work than they normally would. And, you know, that's a big night for him. But I think that third pair in general is going to be really, really important for this team. You know, if they can make the leap this year and not be a third pair, but maybe be a, you know, a 2B pair, if you will, it does feel like that pair in Liljegren and Sandin will have a big say in how this team does this year. And I thought Sandin was great tonight.
Yeah, and no, I did too. And they got over 17 minutes each, so it's not like Sheldon Keefe put them out for 30 minutes. I think in the third period, you're getting that impression. But they got more ice time. They've been playing with a lot of confidence. Liljegren looking for his first career goal. and the other part was when they were feeding Nick Ritchie, trying so hard, and to the point from the commentary, get it in Anaheim or San Jose. There are plenty of goals to go around tonight. Get it when it really matters.
Yeah, well, a former Leaf prospect, Sean Durzi, is going to get 1-1 against the Leafs. How about former Duck? Not even Duck prospect, just former Duck himself, Nick Ritchie, getting one in Anaheim as the trip wraps up on Sunday. I would certainly sign up for that. But yeah, it was funny. There was the 1-2-on-1 with Kasha, where, I mean, it felt like the goaltender took it away. Never mind the defender taking away the pass to Ritchie. It felt like even Quick was cheating that way. And Kasha, I mean, again, it's a 5-1 game. I'm not going to sit here and nitpick his offensive strategy, but I think it does say something about the guy in Nick Ritchie and how he's fit in on the team that everyone was trying to feed him so much at the end in this game.
Yeah, first of all, Sean Durzi, he was part of the Jake Muzzin trade. He was drafted by the Toronto Maple Leafs, the LA Kings. Made him part of the package. So yeah, he got his first point and then he gets his first goal. So local guy, it's nice to see that in the NHL. Yeah. You know, the trying to get Nick Ritchie his goal, it almost did seem like House League. I mean, it just showed what kind of lead and the Kings were disinterested at the end and the Leafs, and to the point that just telegraphing it totally, he had another chance where the puck was loose and a wide open net. I mean, it'll come. But Corey Perry last night gets his first goal after 18 games, and he did the figurative, the monkey off your back, you know, because it's on you when you see zeros. So I think it'll come soon. He's not going to have the role most of us thought on the top two lines, at least not in the short future, but he is more and more seemingly finding a niche.
I mean, you know, it's funny we say that he's not going to have a role in the top six, although if David Kampf, and again, I don't want to sit here and dwell on the kind of one negative from tonight, But if David Camp's going to miss some time, you know, this team has tried Alex Kerfoot at center in the past. I do wonder if there's a world where Kerfoot finds himself back up the middle because, you know, they've tried Spezza. It seems like they don't want to extend him much beyond kind of fourth line minutes. We know Semyonov has been in the mix, but I think third line center is a lot to ask out of that guy. I do wonder if maybe there's a world where Richie is back alongside of Tavares and Nylander if you need Kerfoot to play some center.
Yeah, you know, those options are all there. And again, yeah, it's good you mentioned about David Camp and only 10 seconds on the ice and then a collision or a hit or whatever it was that, you know, to the head or falling on his arm or elbow. So they announced shortly after he wouldn't be back and, you know, you worry. I mean, Noah Dobson actually seems to be okay for the Islanders. The Islanders aren't okay, but Dobson, when he got hurt against Toronto, you thought he might be out for a while. So you never know. You never know.
Yeah, we will. We'll wait for an update on David Camp there, but it's one the team is definitely waiting for on bated breath because you know we talked ad nauseum on this station. You know, you talk about it. So you hear everybody talking about it. How important that third line has been with the Camp and Kasha connection, and I think the most encouraging thing of that is again a guy like Kasha. You know, he's played just above 80 games in his NHL career before he came here. Like, this isn't a guy who has a long track record.
Right.
And you know he has the offensive upside and he's able to do it. But you were wondering how much of that is because of the connection he has with Camp. Camp played 10 seconds tonight, and Kasha seemed like just as dangerous an offensive player.
Yeah, sometimes you read things into it because they worked well versus someone who just works well with everybody else. So that's what we're going to have to hope in Kasha's case. And yeah, I mean, tonight wasn't much of a game to gauge defense. Defense has really been a strength for the Maple Leafs. I mean, still, they only gave up two goals. So that's, it's as they said, if you score three for Jack Campbell, you're going to win every game. Might be the case with every goaltender. I don't know. But yeah.
There's been a few we've seen in this market that maybe that wouldn't be true.
That's true. But it's, so defensively, that went out the window in the second. They just dominated. So it was a really dispirited LA King team, not anywhere near the team we saw come through Toronto as part of their 7-game winning streak.
No, and you know, I think it was of course I'm going to talk about it. On the Bunting goal there, it was Deneau who kicks the puck in. Like, you could just, if we were doing the opposite of this, if we were doing King's Nation here, you'd say, yeah, they didn't have it. Yeah, they weren't good. But it was also just one of those nights where they couldn't buy a bounce, couldn't buy a break. And it felt like the Leafs were the exact opposite. When you have a guy who's Selke Trophy level center in Philippe Deneau kicking the puck in his own net. Yeah, it's going your way.
And for the Maple Leafs into the game with a 7.5% shooting percentage, which, you know, again, the analytics community has been very kind to the Maple Leafs, says this can't sustain. It's got to, you know, get back to a more normal, successful rate. And sure enough, you know, that's something tonight. The Maple Leafs able to connect on a lot of those goals, so the shooting percentage will go up. I mean, it was just that the analytics community looked at it as it was just a matter of time.
Yeah, they did. And hey, who knows just how right they were, but tonight they were definitely right. One thing I'll say before we step aside and hopefully hear from some of the Leafs here is, does Justin Bieber have to come to every Leafs game home and away now? I feel like he does. We've been begging for the offensive explosion. You get Bieber in the building and it finally happens.
Yeah, Christine Simpson did a nice feature with Austin Matthews. Talked about everything non-hockey, which was, I really liked hearing it. And showed pictures of him and Justin Bieber. And Tyson Berry's the guy that lost out, right? Because he was part of that gang along with Mitch Marner.
He always gets cropped out of that picture.
And he gets cropped out. Now he's in Edmonton. But anyway, it's funny. You know, in a lot of ways, they're two young men that only people like that can understand each other's lives. You know, what's going on.
Just like me and you. Exactly.
That's it. Yeah. The little. So anyway, Biebs had the private box. He's had it in Toronto before. I don't know if he'll invite us to their Christmas skate if it happens again in Stratford home, but Biebs was bumped and the Toronto Maple Leaf fans there, and there were considerable. Actually, there was a real vocal number of Leaf fans there, which was fun to see because they travel well. They travel everywhere. And it's kind of a smile. Yes, I know we're still very much in COVID world, but we seem to be at least making strides to get into that sense of more normalcy lifestyle-wise.
Oh, you were getting soupy chants. There were Go Leafs Go early on. It was a sight to be seen. And this is the game we've been waiting for. Gord Stellick, Brent Gunning here with you on Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Maple Leafs Radio Network. As we continue tonight, we will hear from some of the principals involved We have also dragged producer Sam McKee back into the light. I believe we might hear from him on tonight's edition. Well, we'll see. I don't want to overpromise, but Sean Dursey, former Rowan Sound Attack, he had a pretty big night, and I have a feeling McKee's not going to be able to stay quiet about it. So we'll hear from him as we continue next on Leaf Station Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Maple Leafs Radio Network.
Let our trained professionals help you come down from the high of the game here on the Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Let's count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Leaf goals tonight on the road in LA. The Leafs are 6-2 winners over the Kings, making it back-to-back wins on the road trip. Oh, you like that? Also, seeking revenge from the 5-1 loss at home. I don't know. I think a 6-2 win is better than a 5-1 loss. I mean, it's literally the same number margin of victory. You give up one more, but you get one more. So you feel a little better about yourself. Gord, you and I, we've broken this game down. And we're back. Like, the true A-team is back tonight. Wonderful producers we had filling in for us over the weekend. Show Ali, J.R. Manitab. But right now, and again, you know, it's a tough get for us to get him because he's become a big star on Real Kipper and Bourne. We're going to bring in.
We're very fortunate.
We're so lucky to have producer. Hold on. Let me see if I can do it. Sammy with us. Was that good? Did I do that okay?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. Yeah, I never leave. Yeah, I'm here all day. I'm
you got
here
a
all night.
Under the desk.
I'm sitting here in this chair. Yeah, great show so far, fellas. Couple things about tonight. I do want to give a huge shout out to Sean Dursey. I was a massive fan of his when he was on the Owen Sound Attack, part of some really good teams with Suzuki and the like in Owen Sound. What a great goal for your first career NHL goal. I know it's in a 6-1 blowout, but to go cross body, snap it, bar down, that felt pretty good. No celebration. Owen Sound taught him well. Secondly, I loved Leaf fans in the building tonight. How exciting is that if you're a Leaf fan? You're in LA, you get tickets to go to Staples Center, and you go in there, and your favorite team just beats the brakes off the Kings. Those Kings fans know that you're more passionate about the Leafs. Those Kings fans know that you know more about hockey than them. It's a great feeling. And you just go out of there. You're good to go into LA. It's a nice night. What a feeling for those Leaf fans. I'm happy for them in there.
Yeah, that's well said by you. And yeah, that's the thing. The night that those fans are going to have. I mean, we're sitting here burning the midnight oil nearly 1 in the morning. But it's a lovely 10 o'clock in LA. Mm-hmm. You're ready to start the night. You're going out. And it is true. The road fans, like, I think that's the thing about this team, that the way all the playoffs have ended over the years. And of course, last year, but you go back to Columbus and Boston. And, you know, this is a proud fan base. There are members of Leafs Nation truly everywhere on earth. They exist. But the way things have gone, it's been a little hard to puff out your chest, especially in a market that is not that far removed from a couple of Stanley Cups. And it's just nice to see people getting back to that feeling of, yeah, I can't puff my chest out. And yeah, this team is really, really good.
And, you know, that's the one part that we said early on. Just, yeah, it'll be refreshing. Just it's nice seeing fans in the building. And I've always said, like, you know, that Pittsburgh game, you saw Leaf fans there, and man, they would have had to have booked the test to go home and all that. And it's just miserable sitting there. But yeah, you know, Sam, when we call it the walk to the subway, this one you probably would have left early and gone to a bar, you know, whatever. You know, it's a laugher. It's not a compelling game. It doesn't have us on pins and needles, but I don't mind these every now and then. And I like them, especially when you get the balanced scoring like the Leafs did tonight.
It's the walk to In-N-Out Burger. That's your,
there you go.
You're leaving the bar and going to get a burger or something. I don't know.
We are too similar because you beat me to it. Cause I wasn't going to go In-N-Out Burger, but I think that was just a nice walk on the beach is what that is. You're in LA. You got, I don't know. There's a lot of beaches there. Manhattan. There's other ones. I would imagine.
So do you think Matthews and them are going out with Bieber tonight, or they got to travel tonight?
So the game that tomorrow's a, like, I mean, I don't know the team's schedule per se, but there are no games in the NHL tomorrow. They're in San Jose. I'm not great on my Cali geography, but I don't know. Austin Matthews scored. It feels like he's going to go out with Austin. Austin Bieber.
They've been in LA because generally they like to charter right after the game because the guys are so wound up, and you're going to get tomorrow off anyway. I mean, there's rules about if it's a travel day and practicing whatever, but nowadays they less and less emphasis on practice, but I think they just want to get to San Jose tonight. That's what I think.
Maybe I have a wrinkle for you, McKee.
Let me have it.
Is it impossible to imagine a world where Bieber's on the charter?
Oh, no, that's true. But right? I feel like San Jose is a lot less exciting than L.A. I don't know. I've just heard it's not as big a town as, you know, L.A., the glitz and glamour, Hollywood Hills. But
yeah, if that was the other way, maybe he's hopping to L.A. But yeah, I don't know that he wants to go hang out in Silicon Valley on a Friday night.
You know, there are celebrities around that, you know, are kind of fake fans, and they kind of pretend to cheer for their teams and whatnot. It really does feel like Bieber loves the Leafs. You know, you see him in the booth and he's high-fiving everyone. He seems to be fired up. He really, I don't know. It makes me like him a little bit more, I have to say.
So I'm trying to, because it's when I was doing the Jim Ralph job with Joe Bowman, which I did for 4 years. And we were in Anaheim. And back then the celebrity was, you know, Mike Myers.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. So back then he was really, really big. And, so he's up there, and I introduced him to Cliff Fletcher, the general manager of these, because Cliff liked those kind of things. Yeah. But Cliff really wasn't, like, too engaged in him. And then later on, Cliff said, I didn't realize who that guy was. Because Myers just was like an annoying guy asking about Yannick Perreault, when he's going to come up and all this. And, you know, it just... But I just looked like a regular schlep or something. And I felt like saying, you know, Cliff, no, that's why I introduced him to you. So he had that. So then he did a period with Joe and myself, and it was fun that way. And, he didn't get a private box like Justin Bieber did tonight, but Justin seems to be in it.
We might have to unearth that audio of Mike Myers in the booth with you guys there.
I would take some digging.
It really would, but it might be worth it. This is one of those things where it's like, hey, it's the holiday season. I'm just gonna wish it. If Santa wants to bring me that audio, that'd be lovely. But like, in all seriousness, you know, you mentioned Myers, Will Arnett. We know he's a big Leafs fan. He did the thing. The Leafs are one of those teams. They should have an uber famous kind of super fan. Like, they are the Yankees. They are Manchester United, whatever you want to call it. Like, it feels just kind of right when they have one of those guys, whether it be Mike Myers or right now it's Bieber. It does just kind of feel right to have a super famous super fan.
And one more thing from the game tonight. There's some great clips floating around after the game of Austin Matthews mic'd up, because he was mic'd up for the TNT broadcast tonight.
Oh, okay.
So there's some really good clips. After he scores the goal, he tells Tavares that he loves him, and they're like, oh, great job, brother. And they're all just telling each other they love. I was surprised at how vocal. Maybe he's yucking it up a little bit because he knows he's mic'd up. He knows it's a big national game in the States. He wants to come across because he's got some personality. But I was surprised, not necessarily surprised, but impressed with the amount of personality that he was showing on the ice.
I saw those clips, and yeah, I think, look, he knows the mic's on him.
For sure.
Like, there's a little bit of, I hate to break it to you, in this business, we put it on just a bit.
No, like, I'm like this all the time. You're,
just a bit. And yeah, it's a little bit of putting on a show. But the one that really stuck out to me was he's sitting there with his mouth agape, just as Spezza skates back to the bench after his goal. And he's telling Spezza, I had the best angle for it. It was right. I'm looking right at it. I can see it right here. And again, I think the thing that with a team like this in a market like this is, especially, and again, like, they've won 12 of 14 and it still kind of felt like you're in the meat grinder. Why aren't you scoring? Why aren't you doing this? And I just think you're out on the road again. He's in the part of the country, in the part of the world he's probably the most comfortable in the world. It just, it feels to me like it's a guy who is just kind of feeling more comfortable, and you get a laugher like this. It just allows everybody to kind of come out of their shells a bit.
I got a great idea here.
Hmm.
Why don't we hear from the aforementioned Austin Matthews?
If we have the technology, let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
What led to finally the kind of the offensive floodgates opening tonight?
I don't know. I mean, I think we just kind of stayed patient the whole night and played really well within our structure, and just kind of stayed patient when the opportunities have presented themselves. Guys made plays and able to capitalize. So
you're mic'd up on the broadcast.
I just had such a great angle of it, so I mean, it was just watching that unfold in front of me was pretty cool. And Rich had just an unbelievable screen, and like I said, it's tough to beat Quickie just kind of one on one when he's seeing it. I mean, he's one of the best in the world, and so it was a really nice screen by Rich. And I mean, we've seen that one before from Spets, so it was pretty cool. Honestly, I kind of saw it last second, so I can't, and I haven't seen a replay, so I can't really say much about it. But obviously, sounded like it was a little bit dirty, and you know, hopefully Camper's all right, but I didn't. I caught it kind of late.
What do you think he'll mean to the group if he misses some
time? I mean, he's been unbelievable for us all year long. Just in his role, being able to play against some of the top guys, producing, scoring some big goals, creating some big plays to that lead to big goals. So, you know, I think fingers crossed that it's nothing serious and he's all right. But I mean, he's been a really key part to our successes here.
You don't take a lot of penalties. Did you? It looked like you were talking to the ref before the second period started. Did you get an explanation there? Did that kind of fire you up at all?
I just wanted an explanation, honestly, because I don't know. I'm not really going to get into it, but obviously I didn't think it was a penalty. He called it. I just kind of wanted an explanation. I thought I was just finishing my check. I know he happens to be a little bit of a smaller guy compared to me, but I just kind of wanted an explanation as to what he saw, just so, I mean, I could know what he was calling or what he saw, just so I could, I guess, I don't know, maybe learn from it. I don't hit many guys. I don't throw the body around too much. So, yeah, I don't know.
Have you ever gotten a boarding penalty before?
I don't know. Probably. Probably at some point, yeah.
Are you in the building tonight? Were you able to meet up with him before? Are you going to meet up with after?
I don't know. I haven't seen him yet. So maybe he's sticking around saying hi to some of the guys. But yeah, maybe it was our good luck charm tonight. Who knows?
What do you make of how Wayne's been playing this season? He was talking this morning about his work with the skill development. Mm-hmm. He picked up a couple points tonight. What are you seeing from him?
I mean, he just works hard every single day. You know, he's a true professional. And like you said, he's you know, worked on different aspects of his game, and obviously tonight he was showcasing them quite a bit. So he made some really nice plays. Obviously the goal Pierre scored was just a beautiful pass and just poised by him to get him that puck. But I mean, he was dancing tonight, and he was playing really well for us.
There is Austin Matthews following the Leafs 6-2 win. The one line that jumped out from me there is when he got asked about his boarding penalty. I didn't even hit anybody, so I don't know how that happened there. I love that because it reminded me of years ago, the 24/7 series. This is back in Phaneuf era of the Leafs, and Phaneuf and Crosby are going back and forth, and Phaneuf is saying, oh, it was a dirty hit, and Crosby had the exact same great line. I don't hit anybody. What are you talking about? Couldn't have been a dirty hit. I love hearing from Austin. And again, you could just tell the guys are feeling good about themselves right now.
Yeah, he wasn't hanging out with Biebs. So just there you go. Biebs was there on his own as we do a little entertainment tonight type form along with the hockey story. Yeah, Austin Matthews.
We'll book you on Kiss tomorrow morning to talk about it, Gord.
Thank you. Thank you. He had a ton of shots, 8 shots on goal tonight. So
Thought you were wondering about Bieber's, you know.
Well, I'm okay with Bieber. I'm okay. I'm okay about with Bieber there. He's all pumped. But Austin Matthews, you know, just that kind of presence and 8 shots as the Maple Leafs outshoot LA 38-32. He is being a presence, to say the least.
Leafs Nation postgame /eTalk here. Brent Gutting, Gord Stellick with you. We're going to step aside, hear from more of the Leafs, maybe some more C-plus level jokes from me. We'll see how the show continues. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Maple Leafs Radio Network.
Time for a little hockey talkie. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Two is the final score for the Leafs on the road in LA. One of the stars of the game. Well, I'll be honest, I actually don't believe he was one of the 3 stars, but he's always a star when the Leafs are involved. Let's hear from Jack Soupy Campbell.
How did it feel to play and win a game in this building for the other team?
Yeah, it was a fun game. Obviously we came out and played extremely well, and you know, just a great building, a lot of good memories here, and a lot of familiar faces, and I just thought our team played great tonight. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, our fans are special, and you know, just to hear it or just to see them in warm-ups and everything, it always gets us fired up, and you know, big 2 points for them.
Looks like a pitcher who gets good run support. You got a lot of goals behind you. Relatively makes your night a lot easier. What were your thoughts about the offensive performance?
Yeah, I just thought we executed it tremendously, and you know, Quickie down at the other end has had such a great year, and he looked dialed in again tonight. We just made it real tough, and you know, not too sure, you know, what we changed it up, but we just stuck with the game plan, and with the talent we have, you knew it was going to come eventually.
Did you see
easy to hit on David Camp?
You know what? I know it was to my right side, but I didn't see it. I think I was looking to see the guys coming into the zone. And, you know, he's such an important part of our team. You know, we'll be thinking of him for sure.
What stands out to you about Spence's shot?
Man, he just does it all. He's a great playmaker. He can stick handle, you know, through the neutral zone like anybody can. It's crazy. And, you know, then you forget about how amazing his shot is. And I don't certainly forget because I get to face it every day. But it's just it's great to see him get rewarded with a great snipe.
When your team scores six, your performance may get lost in that. But how do you feel you played it? Were there any big key saves you felt that you made?
Hey, I'll take this any day. You know, we played great, and, you know, I felt good in there, and I just thought our guys played great in front of me, and just a great team win.
How would you describe the mood around the team, what it's like to go on a heater like this, what, 12-14 now? What's it like?
Yeah, we're just rolling. We're having fun. We're working hard, and we're just trying to get better each day, and it's just a great group to be a part of, and, you know, we expect to be in this spot, and we're just trying to keep getting better. Ooh, with this schedule, I forgot it's coming up, but I'm sure we'll, you know, have a nice meal together, but nothing crazy.
With it being Thanksgiving, what are you thankful for?
Oh, so much, and yeah, I mean, my family, of course, you know, spoiled with them, and yeah, just playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs, our team, my teammates, and yeah, it's just incredible.
I genuinely wondered if Jack Campbell would ever stop talking after they asked him to list all the things he's thankful for. Oh, the air, you know, grass, living. I thought that was going to go on for 47 minutes. Somebody who I'm sure is happy it didn't joins us now from lovely LA, Luke Fox. Luke, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing pretty good. Jack Campbell just walked by me and he's on his phone. Maybe he's listing off things he's thankful for to someone right now.
I mean, whether they asked or not, I'm sure he's telling them. Yeah, I mean, look, there's, you know, you could sit here and break down tonight's game. I feel like there's, you know, for a 6-2 game, it just kind of feels like, yep, the dam broke. And that's what it looks like when a good team gets a couple breaks and plays a solid game. Was there anything that looked all that different for you tonight? Or for me, it was just, yep, the dam finally broke. And that's what it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, this is the 21st game of the season, right? And this team, you look at this roster and you look at all the offensive talent on here, and it was just kind of a matter of time. It's like, if anything, I'm surprised we didn't have one of these nights before. So they go out and they score more goals than they have all year, more even strength goals than they have all year. And, you know, Sheldon Keefe after the game said, really, there wasn't anything that much different in, you know, their plan of attack or in how the team was playing. He said it just kind of the goals started falling for us. And, you know, I think part of it is once you take a stranglehold on the game like that and you have a lead, you suck a little bit of the will out of your opponent so that maybe, you know, the fifth and the sixth goal come. But it's nice, I think, for the Leafs, the fact that the points were spread around. 11 guys got on the board. A handful of them got multi-point nights. You know, Austin Matthews hadn't had a 5-on-5 goal in 10 games, which is his longest so-called drought. I mean, he's getting power play points, but longest drought since his rookie year at 5-on-5. So all these things happen, and everyone's feeling good. You know, Jake Muzzin and Jack Campbell get a win in their return to this building, their first time playing against the Kings in L.A. So there's just a lot of good stories. And, you know, you walk by the dressing room after the game and the music's cranked and everyone's easygoing and smiling. And the mood around this team is really relaxed. I mean, they're kind of in a zone right now. 12 wins in their past 14 games. Like, the way things were a month ago, you never would have seen such a sharp turnaround coming. So yes, the offense is part of that now.
Well, you know, certainly 12-2-0, as you mentioned, the hottest team in the NHL right now. So Kyle Clifford, does he play on this trip, do you think?
Well, if David Camp's hurt, then yeah, I think
that's true. That makes it easy, right?
Yeah. So there was no update. I think he needs to be assessed further. Precautionary reasons is why they pulled him. So we don't know, but there's a game, you know, right around the corner, Friday in San Jose. So if he's a little shaky, then I would think, yeah, I would see maybe Kerfoot goes third line center would be my guess, and then they fill in from there, and Clifford gets a look on maybe the fourth line left wing.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I see it as well. You know, I mean, obviously we all hope Kampf doesn't miss any time, but you never know what happens. This team's been incredibly lucky with injuries outside of basically Peter Mrazek this year, so they were bound to be tested one way or another. You know, sitting there thinking, okay, if it is Kerfoot that ends up playing third line center, is Nick Ritchie automatically back in the top six? Because I genuinely feel awful for him after tonight. I know I shouldn't say that after a 6-2 win. I'm sure he's thinking the same thing. Will he ever score again? Like, how many good looks can you have? It seems like the team is going out of their way to talk him up. Matthews mentioned his screen on Spezza's goal about 5 times in his post-game answer. Like, it seems like this team is trying everything they can to get him going, but I've never seen a guy who looks more snake bit right now.
Yeah, it's just you would think like something's going to go off a foot or
something
off his hip or something. Like, it's kind of crazy that it's taken this long, especially considering that, you know, he's getting power play time. He's gotten some run with the top line, two experiments with the top line, and it still hasn't fallen for him. And yeah, you're exactly right. It is kind of interesting how his teammates and his coach are kind of going out of their way to say what a great game he had. And Keith actually said that the guys were trying to get him one tonight. I mean, I think when the floodgates burst open, you're kind of thinking, okay, who needs a goal? Who needs a goal? Because it seems like Jonathan Quick's giving them away today. But yeah, poor Nick Ritchie. Still can't get one.
Kasha was trying. Boy, oh boy. Yeah. Everybody was trying. Kasha was really, really trying. I don't know. Enough former Leafs have come back and scored. Anaheim on Sunday seems like a great, great time for Ritchie to get his first. Luke, thanks so much for jumping on with us. We really appreciate it.
Ritchie from Kasha. Book it.
There it is. Take it to the bank. Take it to
there
wherever
go,
you
yes.
like to place your wagers. And then Luke Fox is coming to collect, though. He doesn't give that out for free. He's coming to get you. There he is, Luke Fox Jukebox. Follow him on Twitter. You can read his piece on sportsnet.ca. The postgame will be up shortly, I'm sure. He just mentioned what Sheldon Keefe had said. Let's hear from the head coach.
Yeah, I thought we did some good things in terms of how we want to attack the net, increase our volume a little bit. But I don't know if it's just a matter of some of the luck coming back our way. I mean, I don't know if we did anything a whole lot different than what we've been doing in other games, but it was certainly nice to see it go in.
Is there any update on David?
No update other than, you know, he was removed in the nature of the hit, just precautionary, so he'll be reevaluated tomorrow, and we'll just take it from there.
You know, road games are tough to come by in this league, and tonight was not just a road win. You pretty much took it to them from the start. How pleased are you with what your team was able to do?
Yeah, we're very pleased. I mean, we've been playing good hockey here of late, but it's been a long time. I can't remember, you know, when last time we've blown a game open like that in terms of, you know, the goals going in, having a second period like that. It's been a long time. Maybe it really hasn't been all season, frankly. So it's nice to have that, you know, for our guys. You had a lot of guys that are scoring. The group's feeling good. You know, we've played good hockey on the road here of late, but we haven't gotten the goals. So we've really had to grind it out to the very end. And it was nice today to have a nice cushion and, you know, leave here with lots of positivity and the group feeling good. Yeah, for sure. You know, guys get looser. It's just natural, you know. Sometimes you get, you know, when games like that happen, you end up getting a little bit too loose and then gets a little bit sloppy and all that, which I thought it did a little bit towards the end of the second period. But, yeah, it's great for the team. It's great for the camaraderie of the group. You get lots of guys scoring different lines. You know, guys are really pushing for one there for Nick Ritchie. I actually thought Nick had an outstanding game tonight, did a ton of really good things for us, and had some chances. You know, you really want to see one fall for him because he certainly deserves it. But this summer, a lot of really good things here. And to comment on the road, it was really nice here for me. And we've had a little bit of it, but
being out here in L.A., it was a lot of blue-white in the building tonight. Lots of noise, lots of Leaf fans, and that was terrific to see. I saw a replay on the bench of it. It looked to me like direct contact to his head, obviously, so you hate to see that. I don't know how much intent was there, though it looked pretty accidental to me.
With all the goals, maybe the goaltender might get lost in this. What are your thoughts on Jack?
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, there were times in this game, little chunks of each period, I thought, where LA had real strong pushes. And Jack was great for us, as he's been all season. So it was really good to see that for him, to see that to continue. And I'm sure for him on a personal note, it's nice to do it here in this building and against this team. And then just in general, I mean, this is a team that gave to us pretty good in our building last time we saw them. So, you know, it's nice to have the result go the other way.
Talks about having Clifford back on the team and what he brings to the team.
Yeah, Cliff's a great veteran player. He's been through a lot in this league. He's obviously won championships. He plays the game extremely hard. He's an ultimate team guy. Our guys, you know, that were here a couple seasons ago when he was with us, gained a lot of respect for how he handles himself and the type of team player that he is. So I think it's a nice addition to us, to, you know, with the depth of our team, to add a guy of his experience. We don't have, you know, there's not a lot of guys. You know, one Stanley Cups that are kicking around and are available, but you know, with how he plays, now he competes, and the type of person that he is, it's a real nice addition to the depth of our team.
You guys were marveling at Jason's shot on the power play there. He's obviously had a few reps on the power play over the years. What do you appreciate about how he approaches that role?
Yeah, he takes it. I mean, he knows that's a big part of what he brings to our team, and he takes it very serious. He takes ownership of that unit. You know, coming downhill in that shot is, you know, a bit of a signature shot for him. It's nice to see it go in here today. I talked to he and Nick Ritchie were sitting beside each other in the room there tonight after the game, so I chatted with them, and he was quick to point out the value of the screen by Nick Ritchie there. It was really textbook stuff, and how he crossed through the eyes just at the right moment for that shot, and it's perfectly placed, so the goalie can't see it. It's going to get in, so... Real nice sequence there, all the way through, right from the faceoff. Richie helps us win the draw by stepping in, goes up and around, and Engvall gets through pressure, comes back around to Spez, and it's in. So it's a really nice job by that whole unit.
There it is. You heard it here. The greatest screen in Maple Leafs history. Nick Richie's screen on Jason Spetz's goal. Man, they are talking Richie up. It's a good sign of good teammates that they all want to get him going. Leafs are back at it on Friday against the Sharks. 10:30 start. Gordon and I postgame pod after that. Sunday, the roadie continues in Anaheim. We'll have the game right here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, hear them all on the Maple Leafs Radio Network.